using the exploding palm technique. Your palm should not actually explode. This is all.
Was my fault.
And Karazim can get excited at the end there, can't he? He gets real into it. That was great.
He's got a little
got a little skin hanging back there in the throat. I see. Yep. How it is. Yeah, well, 100 or 7-sided strikes will do that to you after a while. It's like too much soda pop. You're gonna get yourself a kidney stone. Hey everybody, it's Core episode 84. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger, and we are here bringing the latest and the greatest in the world of Heroes of the Storm. Kind of a quiet week. It's post E3. We got Malphail for a week. Things aren't exactly, you know, hopping or jumping in terms of big news or anything. I know I missed a ton of really great competitive play over the weekend that you guys will surely tell me about. But outside of that, just, you know, a good week in Heroes. I noticed as small empirical evidence when I log into the launcher, still by far the most friends I have are in Heroes, and it's made up of not just core people, but it's made up of everybody. So I just, it's a small little thing I notice every week, like where's the population shifting to, and it depends on what game's out and what's happening. But it used to be when things would be kind of settled and there wasn't like a big new WoW expansion or patch, or Hearthstone didn't just get an expansion or something, it seemed like a lot of people would just crowd up into Overwatch. That's kind of where they were at. These days, though, since 2.0, I can count on Heroes being the place where most of the people are hanging. So I think that's good for the game. It's a small piece of evidence for me in my group of 200 or whatever the maximum friends count is, but it's like substantial. I'll see like 3 people in Overwatch, 5 over in WoW, couple in Diablo, and then everybody in Heroes. I think that's a good sign, you guys. Don't you think?
I think so. It's been kind of the same for me, even in spite of a big WoW patch. I'm still seeing steady numbers there, and it's a good game. We've got a lot of evidence, some we're going to talk about later, that this game is really growing in big ways. That's exciting. You know, it feels neat to see a Blizzard game build this way, mm-hmm. as opposed to what usually happens, you know, take Overwatch, for example, or even Hearthstone, where it comes out and it's just number one and it just dominates and it just destroys the competition and nobody can stand up to its prowess. It's nice to see them, you know, kind of have to earn their place and definitely doing it.
Yeah, it's the long tail we're watching here with this game. And I think that's a unusual place for Blizzard to be, but it makes me really happy to see them deciding that they're in for the haul. This isn't just, they're not going to go for, you know, first seat and then just sit back and relax the way they've been able to with Overwatch and Hearthstone and World of Warcraft and StarCraft for that matter. But they can now kind of go, all right, well, if we want to be there, we came a little bit late to this party, we're going to have to dig our way up there, and they're doing it. They seem to be putting the resources and the people behind it, so that's a good sign. But as a result, things have been a little quiet this week. There's not a ton going on. I'm curious though, Bo, have you put additional hours into Dahaka or not Dahaka? Freaking Malphail this week? Because I've seen him once or twice, and I've been too busy, and I haven't had a chance. So where are you at with him?
Apart from the HGC, there's not much going on. I think people are probably like, well, that's the biggest tournament, but news-wise, there isn't.
Yeah, that's all I mean.
Sure. Malphail kind of blows. Shouldn't say things like that. People are going to not take that right. He's super cool looking. His everything, you know, like we say about all the heroes, and we're about to say something kind of not nice about them. Killed it with the art, with the VO, the look, the feel of playing the hero. I think feels like I'm playing Malphail. But the reason why I say that he kind of blows is because he doesn't, I mean, if you're queuing up in quick match to play with him, it hasn't been a romping good time. Mm. I feel like you're minimally impactful because you're mostly seeing assassins or I queued up for a quick match today before the show. Double healer on the other team. Good luck killing anything, Malthiel. No tanks. You know, just I just felt like I was doing nothing. I actually quit the game. I have to see if I have lever status. Partly because we had the show, and I'm like, I'm not hanging around here. It's 20 minutes on Garden of Terror. This is over.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's a bad scene.
I just left. I just couldn't do anything. I just felt so minimally impactful. That being said, when I've queued up with teammates and we get a tank on our team, so it assures a tank on the other team, it's gone much better. The games where there's triple warriors, they're far and few between. You do feel impactful and like you're doing something. So I think he has a niche. And I don't think I'm going to lean into him and play a billion quick match games because he needs the right comp for it. So so I don't know. He's fun, but a little disappointing. Like comparing to the hero before at D.Va, where all I wanted to do was play D.Va all day and have a blast playing D.Va, it's more of a, I don't know, a gentle breeze playing Malthiel.
So this is one of their challenges. They've got they had an opportunity to make a pretty significant nemesis from the Diablo universe into a character. And you're right on all those levels. They nailed it with VO and style and feel and tone and everything is just great with him. But as a quick match character, it sounds like he's very underwhelming. You're not the first person to say this week. Like he's just not a good pick, kind of no matter what you do. In quick match, you're not going to have fun outside of sort of learning his kit and getting used to him, but you're going to die a lot, and depending on comp, you're going to get no support where you need it and that sort of thing. So Blizzard's big challenge is making a new hero that attracts people on that basic, visceral, I love Diablo's universe, so bring it on kind of level, and then they have to figure out how to make it so that it's not some niche character that's only good in the right comp and competitive draft play. Otherwise you're not, that's not a good value. I don't think like for somebody to throw down money for gems or spend in game gold, that is basically time for, you know, a lot of time spent. There's a certain expectation that your character is going to be versatile in a number of ways, be it quick match, competitive, AI matches, you know, whatever the game has to offer. You hope that that character can do things in each of those scenarios that are at least fun and maybe more than that. And it sounds like he's just not in that regard.
Yeah. I do want to offer a bit of a counterpoint, the boring statistical counterpoint, and chat room's pointing it out as well. He currently has the highest win rate on HOTS logs, which is the data that we have to go off of. I went ahead and took a look at a little bit of it. Even if I remove bronze, silver, gold, he's still right near the top in Hero League, in Team League. He's doing really, really well. Although I guess I didn't check Quick Match. Maybe I should check Quick Match. Yeah, he's still second place in Quick Match. Like
I wouldn't go on Quick Match because of mirror matches. Like there's going to be a Malthiel on both teams. So
right, it's a little it's wonky data on top of wonky data.
Yeah,
like it makes sense for Hero League and Team League if that's where it's coming from. Quick Match, if all the matches have Malthiels and mirror matches, then it's 100% guaranteed a Malthiel will win. And I don't know what effect it has on your statistics. That's why Quick Match is kind of weird to look at win rate data. But, I mean, it isn't to say that he's bad. He's just bad in Quick Match. And I think we have to wait a little while to see where that goes. But maybe when I say sucks, I don't mean bad. I just mean not fun. Like, there are games where it's just not fun to play him. And that's been my reaction, I suppose.
Well, that's an important thing. I'm looking at the HOTS log stuff as well, and it's interesting. The top 10... top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, let's say 5 characters because it's a little bit mixed up after that, but they're all new-ish or brand new. So Malthiel, Probius, D.Va, Uther, who just got a huge rework, and Ragnaros, which is, he's relatively new. There's probably something there that ties with your, there's some correlating data with mirror matching that's going on there, because the more popular the character, the more likely it is people are queuing in quick match with them, the more likely it is you're going to end up with a mirror match. And then,
well,
therefore,
the default main page is Hero League. Yeah, so unless you apply a quick match filter, it's showing you Hero League.
So the issue is there. Like I said, that's why I prefaced it by saying he's not fun to play in quick match, because that's where you're going to start playing him.
Yeah.
is that he's good versus tanks. Like, he's a tank, but he's a new tank buster. The value from his percent based damage comes from longer drawn out fights with tanks, with support, with peel, people protecting you. He can be very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
He's not fun to play if you're in the wrong circumstances. So if it's assassin match, Vala just stomps you. Like, it's a joke. And yeah. So that's what I mean, is that if you're coming into this game, and we're talking slightly from a more casual perspective, Malthiel's a big hero, it's hype, everyone buy him, and then you go in a quick match and, I wouldn't recommend him to a new player or to someone who plays casually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and, I know why.
In my games, I didn't have as much fun with them.
I just realized why it's not working for me. There's Hotslogs now has an ad. I have an ad blocker running, and they're not letting me filter anything until I turn that off. So, thanks, fellas. Anyway, I don't know. It's interesting. I want to get to know him more, but I don't know. This is as this usually goes. My temperature on new heroes is often not tainted, but colored by those who I play with and around, and I will sometimes pick that hero up later and you know, play him for a year after everyone else has already worn off the newness and it's all new to me. That'll probably happen here. I mean, I bought him, I have him, and I've played him a couple of times, but I feel really, really insecure with him. I don't know why I feel that way. I just do. I play lots of insecure characters, but at least with like Tracer, I can get the hell out of Dodge if I need to.
Yeah.
Even though I'm made of paper and air, I can quickly get out of the trouble and you start to understand what your limits are with her. But with him, I haven't got there yet. His escapes are weird. It's not really an escape. It's like a fake escape anyway. And it just feels just constantly in danger, which flies a little bit against the lore that is Malthael. The guy's supposed to be this, we talked about this a bit last time, but he's supposed to be this giant throbbing beast of a fallen angel type, and he's kind of dies real fast, so it's fine. It's fine.
Well, he's having the angel effect for me, which is the hero I most wanted to play prior to Heroes coming out was Tyrael, because he is an amazing-looking character, and I've always been a fan of Tyrael. Don't like playing Tyrael. Then I saw Ariel, and I was like, man, she's a super cool design. Love the way angels look in the Diablo universe. Can't wait to play her. Not a big fan of Ariel.
No.
Then Malthiel came out. All right, assassin, angel of death, let's do this. I don't really like playing Malthiel either. So I don't know. Maybe if we ever see Imperius or the other one. There's another one that's pretty well known that I can't think of his name.
Who's the other one? I can't think of who that is. I was thinking Imperius also, but I always call him Tiberius for some reason. So that's just me and a dumb thing I do.
We'll call him Samuel.
And is that it? Okay, Samuel. Samuel the angel.
So,
all right.
Yeah. So either one of those, maybe they'll be cool. Maybe they'll hit for me. But it just bums me out because it's a character type I want to keep. Like, I want to play one of the angels from Diablo and really like them, and I just, they keep unfortunately missing for me.
I've got the name for you. It's Ethereal.
Ethereal?
Oh, okay, yeah, Ethereal. That's him.
Archangel,
he looks
of
like
fate.
He might be cool from that cartoon that he was in, because he was just teleporting everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, he's cool. All right, you're right. He'd be great. Okay, so maybe they have another chance with the angel archetype. They can get that done. But they also definitely have Imperius. Imperius is a badass. He'll be a tank, because if he's not, that's dumb, right? He's the Archangel of Valor. He has to be a tank. What else would he be? He can't be anything else. He's a giant guy with a huge spear, and he's got tons of armor.
Well, he also needs a move where your team starts to fight, and then he just comes down and instantly kills who you're fighting and says, hurry up,
yeah,
and then like goes off again.
Yeah, it's definitely his thing. Or you need to do, like, one of the nastier characters, like, Stitches needs to do his poo move in front of him, and he needs to go blasphemous every time it happens. Really looking forward to it. He's a pious bastard. Anyway, that's that. Let's okay, now today we're gonna take some of your calls. I know there's some people already kind of lined up, or there was. Oh, he left. All right, I want to see. You know what? I'm gonna just see if Hagrinator really wanted to talk to us or not. So let's pull him in here. Hagrinator, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Hey, what's going on, man? Did you want to talk to us today?
I was just hanging out, but you know, if you want to talk, I can talk.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get a little. Let's sit down to the fire here with Haggernator, and let's talk about life and the pursuit of happiness. Where's your head at with Heroes these days? Are you liking it? Is it a game you're playing in the Blizzard lineup, or are you taking a break? Where are you at?
I mean, it's pretty much my most played game. I haven't really played Overwatch much since the first 3 months of it. I play WoW still, but
yeah,
mainly I jump in this game most of all. Lately, it's been a little hectic with a lot of new people who think they know what they're doing.
Oh, okay. No, I'm glad you brought this up. So this is an interesting point of conversation for us, John and Bo. Do you guys feel like the rush of people, either because of the promotions back and forth with free loot and all that, or otherwise just the game taking on greater popularity, has there been a growing pain, or has this been relatively smooth? And again, we're usually together playing randos that we don't know, and I think sometimes matchmaking's been a little weird, but curious where you guys are at with it. So, Bo, what do you think?
Yeah.
Or John.
Everyone's better than me now. That's what happened.
Yeah. It does. Doesn't it feel like that?
Sometimes you have your rough days where it's just like, man, where did all these people come from? But I don't know. You see both sides. Sometimes it's like, oh, man, this is easy street. Sometimes you see people with blue borders below level 100 and they just stomp you and you're like, all right, well, I'm bad at the game now. I used to feel like I was okay, but now I'm just bad, so I guess I'm going to go back to AI for a while.
I do also feel like I've, maybe a bunch of League people are testing it out, or maybe some Dota people or something. They come with those core skill sets. They've sunk hundreds of hours into their previous games, and they're already a little more prepared than I was when I started, and in many ways well past where I'm at, so definitely I feel like that sometimes, but that could just straight up be just the feeling of, hey, we had some bad games. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's always been true of this game. You'll have your winning streaks, and then you have these like 5 or 6 games where you lose and you think, well, something must be wrong. It can't be me. It must be something wrong with the system. So I'm perfectly willing to admit that that might be what's happening, but it does feel that way. I know that queue times are nothing compared to what they used to be. You know, that's a big change. So, Bo, what do you think? Give us the math.
Well, if we're talking about my Hero League experience, I'm almost constantly sitting in judgment of at least one other player on my team. It's not really any different. Quick match just is what it is. I don't think I've felt it. The main impact is on the wait times, like you said, and the friends list. Mm-hmm. I see a lot more people on my friends list that are in this game and not playing other games. Mm. And it's a good sign.
Yeah. Do you feel like, when I get in with you, well, this has always been a problem, so it's probably not a problem now, but when we queue with Bo, it skews harder. It just does, because Bo's better than any of us. So the games are, they're just harder. And there's probably no way to get around that, but I still don't know if we're bringing you down or if you're pulling us up.
I think it's both.
You think it's a little of both?
A little of both, and then maybe it averages higher for Bo. Like the gap between him and us is pretty significant, and I think it goes off MMR, not your actual hero level, so the fact that I have a high hero level shouldn't matter that much. Mm-hmm. But I mean it tries to find that happy medium of MMR, which we don't get to see. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's elevating some and lowering others and trying to find the best match. But maybe Bo is the heavy carry on one end, whereas maybe on the other side, you've got 3 people that aren't as good as Bo, but they're pretty darn good to try to even it out. And so you've got Bo performing really well versus 3 guys on the other team performing really well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is an awkward conversation. I feel bad.
Well, no, I always feel like, a little bad.
I don't
bad.
Know that we're not overstating it a little bit. Like,
we might be.
Because that's the thing, is we don't know. Like, I have no idea. We're just guessing. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, there are people who would say, Bo's not that good, and if they played with me, I'd be bringing down their games too. Like, it's all very relative.
Mm-hmm.
But you do, like, you do notice, I think it's less on the mechanics side and just more on the, like, hustling for the next thing to do and knowing what the next thing to do is and multitasking and recognizing. Like, I think sometimes that's where I see differences, but I don't know. That's tough to say, especially we play a lot of quick match and unranked. So
yeah,
I just sort of assume the matchmaking is a little looser in these modes than in other ones.
Do you ever feel like when you've, let's say you've played a bunch of games with us on the weekend and then you go and play a game on a Monday by yourself, do you, I mean, there's no way to know. Again, it's just a guessing.
It depends on the mode because okay, so we play our unranked with Kyle and me. Kyle, who's got God tier MMR, right? Like we run the whole gamut and there, it is possible that we get punished for certain things because not everyone plays on the same level. Yeah. That's completely possible, but we go in there sort of knowing that and being okay with it. Mm. I think when it comes to Hero League, I've had even in the past week, amazing experiences in Hero League and absolute facepalm experience. Like, I feel like I'm a different MMR every match I play in Hero League. I'm just like, oh yes, I've graduated to this level and I get these kinds of teammates and it's great. Win the game or even lose the game. Queue up the next one and I'm going, oh, did I suddenly drop 5 divisions? What's going on? That happens.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating. So it's because that happens, it's really hard to I don't want to believe in things when I feel like there's so much behind the scenes that can explain certain phenomena that happens.
Yeah.
That I'd hold my friends to account or engender any bad feelings about it.
I hadn't even thought about what we're doing to poor Kyle sometimes when we play with him. Yeah,
and I would also add personal opinion. I would rather be punching up than punching down. Mm. Like winning feels good, but you don't learn a lot if you're just stomping all the time. Like you learned that you had a good time. You learned that it was fun to beat up some poor innocent people that are now crying on the other side. But you don't really gain a whole lot of knowledge out of that. Like maybe you did something cool and it's like, I took a talent because I could and that was fun. But you learn more from having to push yourself harder, and I would rather push myself harder in matches than feel like, I just got to stomp. It's just easy. Just blew them out of the water.
Do you guys think we ever...
ideally you get good matches, but...
Yeah, well, yeah, in an ideal world, but I mean, they can only work with what they have. But do you guys ever feel like have you ever been in a match where you think the other team might have cried, like literally shed tears when you were done? Has that ever happened to anybody? No? Okay, me either.
I don't think so. I want to believe.
You want to believe?
No, you can tell when somebody's shedding tears because...
Oh, we did!
We did?
We had the feeder guy. He was probably crying. They might have been tears of rage, but he was crying.
Guess what hero he was playing?
Malphil. Yeah, big shocker. That's there. Right. He's pretty easy to feed with, turns out. Actually, the best feeder character in the game, I think, is... what's his name? It's Tracer. She just can get back so far back line that her feeding isn't just dying. Her feeding is getting right up to the core and dying in grand fashion. Like she doesn't have to just do it at a wall. She can sneak past stuff and get back there depending on what's down or what's up. But she can do it in a way that is really obnoxious. Not encouraging you guys to go do this either. Don't pick a character based on their feed ability.
It's a good question, who is the best feeder? Because I feel like, you walk to the nearest tower and you're good.
Yeah.
I feel like it might be Illidan, because he can hunt right from the core and just... Or maybe Dehaka. I mean, who is the best feeder?
Pops out of a bush in tower range. Hello.
Hello, I'm Dehaka.
Certainly the most tilting feeder you could pick would be the Lost Vikings, and to send them one by one every 5 seconds and play it again as an ultimate.
Yeah. Well, who can get behind enemy lines? Is there anybody outside of... Artanis can screw up, I guess.
Leo can get by there and respawn in the enemy's territory.
Oh, right. Die. He'd be a good feeder, dude. And then he could just stay back there. Yeah, he might be Grandpa Feeder. He might be the best feeder. Anyway, let's talk about the HGC. Yeah, you know me. the midseason brawl happened, and I missed almost all of it, and I'm super sad that I did, because all I heard on Twitter and everywhere else while I was out busy doing stuff was that they were some of the best matches in Heroes history. Did you guys, John, you're nodding. Did you see it? Were you blown away?
I saw a lot of it. I'm working my way through the finals. I already know who won. Spoilers for people who haven't caught up. We're going to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah.
It was 3-2-1. Now it begins. So it was Europe versus Europe, which is insane and cool.
Yep.
It put me in this really good place because I was really enjoying the European division for whatever reason. That was when I was watching HGC the most, was during the times they were playing. So I found myself rooting for them even over the American teams, just because that's what I kept seeing. So having a double Europe final was really cool because it's basically like somebody saying, hey, root for both the teams, and no matter what, you're going to feel good about the outcome. Mm. And so in the end, Fnatic won, and that was awesome. That was really, really cool to see. They got to win in Sweden, which was even more amazing for them. And it went the full amount of games, too. It was tied up, one game to decide it all, and it was really good. Yeah. Really good. Yeah.
So I think I understood this right. You'll correct me if I'm wrong, John. I think I watched it and you watched it, but this detail kind of hit my ear when I was watching the finals. And for some reason, I didn't realize this was the case until I started watching the finals. But because Fnatic was in the winner's bracket, they started with a one-game advantage?
Correct.
So they tied.
Oh.
Hey. That's what I'm like, why do you get a one game? I know why. They're in the winner's bracket, so they've earned something. But I thought, I heard that and I was like, what? And so that really I really didn't like it. I mean, I don't care. I feel a little bit like it's cheating the other team out of a actual tournament because they have to win more games than the other team to have a victory, and that doesn't seem fair at all.
Do we have an equivalent to this in sports or something? I've never even heard of that before. Like giving somebody an auto win just because
bracket? There are buys. Like I know in Magic tournaments in the early stages, you can get a buy if there's just not enough players. You sit one out and get a free win. But that's in the early stages. Like when it matters, when it's dramatic, when money's on the line, nobody should get any free rides. And you might say, well, Bo, they were in the winner's bracket. The people in the loser's bracket, A, had to lose and continue playing way more games than the winners. Seems like punishment enough.
Yeah.
And two, it seems like what would be appropriate for the winners would be to send other winners to face them and not someone from the loser pile. Anyways, I have thoughts on the whole tournament format, but I'm like, okay, if we're doing loser's bracket, fine. But don't give anyone a free win. And the casters, when they were talking, they were like, it's going back and forth. First Fnatic wins, and then Dignitas won, and then Fnatic won, or something like that. And I was like, no, you gave them a point. There's no swinging. It swung once. They got a free point. They didn't do it. They had a sip of their coffee and had the point. Anyways, yeah. I'm sorry to just derail all of it.
No, I
think it's a good point of discussion. So here's the thing. I like the loser's bracket. I'm not going to ever be upset with that format. But the reason I like it is because you eventually end up with theoretically the best two teams playing each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, no, because the best two teams was Fnatic and Dignitas.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it absolutely was. Don't shake your head at me, Bo. They
Fnatic
were.
had to consistently win, whereas everyone else got a chance to lose but still come out as a winner. Yeah. Now, Fnatic won, but in the last tournament, Dignitas lost in the loser's bracket and took the tournament. And I'm just saying, it doesn't feel right.
We can disagree. What's better, that you have the final match halfway through it, and then they play a lesser team, and it's a stomp? Like, this led up to a good match that was, whether you want to call it a tie or a win by a single game, doesn't really matter. This led to a team that had to consistently beat the other best teams to prove that they were best or second best, and the first best team fought the second best team in the finals, and it went down to one game. Like, to me, that's balance. Saying, like, no, it should have been they fought halfway through this whole brawl, and Fnatic won, so they just win, and they'll go on to fight whoever. Somebody else that they'll beat pretty easily because they're not as good as Dignitas was, and it was just luck of the draw that Dignitas played them. Mm. Like, I'll give you, I think giving them a freebie game is kind of bad from the perspective of you look at the championship and you say, man, they should have just, it should be all wins and all losses. Nothing should be given in that particular match. But at the same time, they should get something for staying in the winner's bracket, because like you said, all they had to do was win. The other team's got to lose. There's their reward. They get a free game going into the finals. Like, I liked this format. I thought the finals were fantastic. Mm. And had it just been one game of Dignitas and Fnatic and whoever won that moved on, that's a lesser experience for me. So I'm 100% for this format. I thought the entire midseason brawl was perfect, from the preliminaries to the actual brackets.
So couldn't themselves. They, so in your logic with the way the loser's bracket plays and the dynamic and stuff, they still could have achieved this great result without giving the free win though.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The free win is kind of arbitrary.
Right. Now, the only downside of the free win not being given is that there would have been a tie declared and they would have had to have a game to determine it. But I don't see why that would have been a problem. That sounds like fun overtime to me, you know?
It was already a best of seven. Like, right. They just got a free win. Like, they, anyways, it's a little picky thing, but I didn't realize it until I was actually watching the match and I felt cheated. And I mean, these guys are winning prizes. I have to think that there's a significant difference between one and two. I don't know. It's just, it didn't sit right with me. So I hope they don't do the free win again. Mm. I'm going to disagree with John, but we're professionals.
Yeah, we're professionals.
We're going to have differences of opinions, but I don't like losers brackets. I think it's weird that they have them in Hearthstone. I think they come from a place of giving players a chance to mess up at one point. Mind you, Hearthstone's a very RNG-heavy game, so maybe it makes sense to have that. But sports are not. I can't think of a single team-based RL sport that has, like, a loser's bracket. And it makes for, like, 10 times the amount of games you have to watch to follow a tournament that's happening in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Just my personal preference.
The only time I've ever seen a loser's bracket in regular sports is when I was a kid playing soccer. And I think that's why, is because we were kids playing soccer. And the idea is that a second chance is a nice way to give a kid who's playing soccer another chance for something. You know what I mean? Like, they're not out completely. It's not just single elimination. See you later. You're out. So I see its value there. I'm not sure I see the value here, except I think from the description of the games that I heard about and from John's impressions. And again, I haven't watched most of this. The only thing I tuned in for, by the way, I tuned in just enough to see. In fact, John made a clip of it later. But to see a Rhaegar survive, I still don't even know what happened there. Like, I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he survived the onslaught of the other team. This entire, like, 5-on-1 fight. And Rhaegar not only escaped, but they ended up rallying and killing the other team that had him cornered. It was crazy. And that's all I got to see. Anyway, I don't want to derail my point. My point was, maybe there's something they know about this tournament structure that they knew they needed to do this loser's bracket thing and able to make it work. And maybe they haven't been really clear about that. Like, I have to assume that, Bo, you're not the only person who's ticked about it. There's got to be like some Reddit freak out or something. And so
I don't know. I think if people have different opinions. I know what's coming up for phase two. Open Division is going to adopt the double elimination brackets. And a lot of people seem to be very pleased from some reactions I've read in forums.
Yeah.
That being said, the BlizzCon finals for the HGC, if it isn't switching, it's been confirmed. I'm not sure what the language I should be using for it is, will be single elimination.
Okay.
And there will be, I think, 3 teams per major region rather than 2. So we get more teams, we get more dramatic wins. And here's what kind of stunk for me as well, just about it, is that Dignitas and Fnatic, big matchup. Dignitas loses, goes down to loser's bracket, and then I watch the same series in the finals. I already saw this matchup. It's done. I don't want to watch it twice. This is me as a viewer. Like,
right.
Maybe the players love it. Maybe it logically is very good. But as a viewer, I was like, oh, you mean I gotta watch this episode? It's like, you know, you really like Breaking Bad, but when you're done an episode of Breaking Bad or Fargo, you don't always want to go back and watch the episode over again the next day. You know, you're looking forward to the next episode.
Yeah, but it's not watching the same episode. Like, okay, so that's your one viewer opinion, a bad one, but there it is. my one viewer opinion is I didn't go and go, oh man, I got to watch Fnatic and Dig play again. Yeah. I was like, yes, I get to see more Fnatic and Dignitas play. Like, I love both those teams. I love watching those teams play each other. And I loved the story of seeing them play each other, Dig drop down to the loser's bracket and say, I don't know if they're going to be able to pull themselves out. I'd like them to. And now I have another story of following another team that I like to see if they can get back to the finals, which they did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, that's a compelling story. Like, your stance seems to come from a place of, ugh, I have to watch this. Like, my place was, yeah,
I don't want to watch the same thing twice.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch the same series twice. You know, go train, come back for the next tournament. By the way, this is, and I feel like I keep watching the same thing, and maybe this is more a lash out at all the other teams and not, I'm not blaming Fnatic or Dignitas for trying their hardest, but it was literally the finals in the other one. And didn't they face each other and one of them went to the loser's bracket and face each other again? Like, I'm happy that Fnatic and Dignitas are teams and that they're doing very well. And again, maybe it's not their fault. I think the format has promoted some strategizing around it a little bit. I'm just like, there are other teams in this tournament, right? So... I don't know. Like, it's just, it's always about those two teams, and they're great and they're fantastic, deserve to make it where they are. But if Fnatic and Dignitas play each other in a tournament, one gets knocked out, I don't want them coming back. And that's a personal preference thing.
Yeah.
I would prefer single elimination tournaments.
I'll bet you single elimination is what is the optimal thing that everybody would probably want. But I think at this stage of the game's development and its progression through professional esports, they probably are just looking to get the most action they can out of every minute they have with a viewer. And maybe this is how they're doing it.
That's how Fnatic got to the finals last year at BlizzCon. It's not like they beat MVP Black and then MVP Black went into the loser's bracket and won their way back up to the finals for an all-Korean finals. We got a good finals with an interesting cross-regional conflict. It's like nothing against those teams personally. I just think it's the format.
It just might be the – I guess I'm going to argue that maybe it's the right format for mid-season Brawl. Like this stage of the thing, this is when you do it. And when you get to your semis and your finals, you go for a more straight single elimination format or whatever they're going to do. Maybe that makes more sense structurally. But I totally also get what you're saying. Like you've seen George Foreman and some other boxer fight. Do you really want to watch him fight again? It's kind of a good point.
Interesting, yeah. Like if it's interesting, sure. It might go the other way, sure. Like if I'm invested in it, yes. I think my problem with where I differ from Bo is, again, it kind of comes back to this place of he doesn't. It seems to be a time thing. Like I'm more than happy to follow one or two teams through the full thing, what I want to see, and not feel obligated to watch matches I'm not interested in, or maybe I just hear there's an interesting one and I seek that one out, and the rest I just look up scores for. But I'm going to follow along with what I'm interested in, and I'm going to be interested through the entire thing. The other stand seems to be like, ugh, I got to watch this. And I'm not trying to say that Bo's like absolutely hating every second of it, but like if I'm enjoying something and someone's like, you're going to get more of it, I'm probably going to be like, yeah, I'm on board. I'm all for this. But I do think that another part of this that we haven't talked about is, you know, especially when you compare it to real sports. I don't kind of want to say that, but that's how I said it. And traditional sports, that's better.
Yeah.
So those go for a season. And then they're done. Esports, typically, they do the loser's bracket. You see it a lot in esports. And it's because it's a format that has to go kind of throughout the year. And it is a longer format. And you do see more. And if they're adding more teams to it, I'm not surprised that they're going to single elimination. But for the amount of teams they had and the amount of matches they wanted to give them and all of that, this felt like the right amount. It was on at weird times. That was maybe the only thing that I was bothered by, but it's because I don't live in Sweden. So if I was in Sweden, I'd be like, sweet, that was prime time.
Yep. Go to IKEA. You'll fit right in. It's fine there. They have meatballs and the hard to put together furniture. So it's good. Well, anyway, it's interesting. And I want to watch the games I missed because they sounded really good. And I want to see some of that stuff, if only to just see what kind of excitement is around the game right now. But we'll see what they do as they move into the next stuff. So what's next? like for the games? Where are we going? So what are we doing?
We're in phase two of the HGC that's coming up next. And that is just regular season play for the next half. Mm-hmm. Remember, there were the mid-season clashes. So there'll be one of those in July, it looks like, according to the schedule. And then we get to the finals in November after some league pace. So the next big tournament is the BlizzCon finals. But there will be a tournament, the clash, before then. And there's a bunch of there's patch notes for the HGC, funny enough, and they're written out like patch notes.
Yeah, literally called patch notes, as phase two patch notes. That's crazy.
Yeah, so Reno Fox, friend of the show, gave us some details about how this is affecting Open Division, an article over on Gosu Gamers, as well as their patch notes on the official esports site, Blizzard Esports. And the long and the short of it is that, there's going to be... There's some information here that I don't know why it's hard for me to process esports information, but I read it and I'm like, okay. The big thing is that roster changes. So a lot of people got impacted negatively, the players, by roster changes, in that you could swap as you see fit, but some people who got dropped towards the end of the swapping period didn't have enough time to find homes on other teams. So they formalized the release, acquisition, and approval phases, so that they're concurrent with all teams and that no one gets left out. Notably, Faye, who I believe played on Superstars, got released very late in the process and didn't have time to try out for another team. That's a real bummer for her. So, the next thing is they've added some rules in here about tiebreaker rules. How that affects like group stage play. The last one, the notable one was again, I already mentioned it, the Open Division switching to a double elimination tournament. A bit of controversy about Even in Death, which is the team that, because another team had to drop out, got the spot, but didn't perform the best. I was looking at the Open Division points for the season, and the top team had like 500 points. And there was a wide margin. The next team has 300. That's imported. Top team was LFM Esports, imported support. And in fourth place was Even in Death with like 200 points. And because of the single elimination tournament, they ended up winning the tournament that counted, I believe, or placing. Yeah, I think they placed first, and that got them the first spot when arguably another team performed consistently better over the course. That, I think, is my understanding. Could be wrong. If I am right in.
Yeah, they also, their final match that determined it between them was played at like 4 a.m.
Right.
Because it had gone so long.
That's right. Yeah. So I think they're also formalizing some of the times so that people in the farm league play at better times that best represent.
I'm looking at the full rule book, which I've never seen before. There's some funny stuff in here. I didn't know they had rules against some cosmetic in-game items. I just wanted to point this out real quick because it just barely bumped up in my view. Prohibited in-game content. You cannot show the following animated sprays. Okay, so sprays which are new to 2.0. These are the ones you cannot show as a player. Cheese. Ganymede. hearts. Murkashima, whatever that is. Pepe. I know what that is. I have the Pepe. Rainbow Unicorn, Skull and Bones, Thumbs Up, Treasure Goblin, Emoji Arthas, Emoji Butcher, Emoji Lunara, Emoji Lieutenant Morales. The list goes on. I don't understand why you can't do those sprays. Is it because cheese is like a BM move? Like a, hey, everybody, F you kind of deal? I don't know. It seems odd to me.
Do they have any restrictions on skins?
Yes. I just found it here, too. Cyberhawk Kael'thas. No wonder we never see that.
Yeah. Archangel Diablo, not allowed. Toxic Archangel Diablo, also not allowed. You mentioned Cyberhawk Kael'thas. Who else? All the versions of that.
What about Skeletor?
I'm looking. It doesn't.
I have a theory that I'm prohibited. Working on.
Oh, it is prohibited, yeah.
Prohibited character mounts, Arthas Bat Form and Kerrigan Bat Transformation.
Muradin's Raider Muradin thing, the one that you complained changed the way that his hammer worked when it first came out. That skin is not allowed. So I guess it you know, the ones that are weird and super animated and lots of extra fire effects and stuff like that, I totally get it. But I don't know. It seems strange. Like,
yeah, maybe the impression is that the changes to these would be too visually flashy. Like to play at a pro level, you have to be so good at reading things so quickly mm-hmm. that, hey, let's just eliminate anything that changes the look of things significantly.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like we should be playing them in ranked.
Yeah, does sound that way to me.
Maybe they're bugged. Maybe they give you 10% extra damage and they haven't said anything.
They have a whole, there's many pages to this, by the way. This thing is freaking huge, but there's a big, big section on player conduct. For example, team members are expected to settle their differences in a respectful manner without resorting to violence, threats, or physical or non-physical intimidation. Violence is never permitted at any facility that is owned or leased by Blizzard or a tournament organizer or any competitor or administrator. I mean, this stuff makes sense, but I didn't know they had to go through all these hoops to get everything. I mean, a lot of this stuff seems like...
Check this one out.
Jeez,
penalties. Jesus. Tardiness to a league game. The fourth offense is removal from the league.
That's big. Now, I wonder if you had already made two roster changes and then somebody got removed from the league, if that's a disband of your team.
That's why they had to disband the other one, because you can't just sub in people willy-nilly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if you don't have your full team ready, that's a violation.
That makes sense.
Wow. That's interesting. That's a hardcore. Cool thing to read and look at.
Yeah, it's long, too, so if you've got some time, it's like 30 pages or more.
Man, I thought the Heroes of the Pants rules list was long. This guy should hire me. I have experience.
Yeah, you know all about that stuff. That's true. Well, anyway, Blizzard's Esports Phase 2 patch notes are out. You can take a look at those. We have something in here called the math behind ranked play. So speaking of, you know, how we're put into games and where we stand and if people are pulling each other down or punching up or however it works, Ale Beard over at BlizzPro wrote an article about the depression calculator. You can go give it a read. It's interesting. Did anybody give this a spin and have any thoughts on it?
I mean, yeah, this is about our depression calculator.
Mm.
The one I made.
Oh, this is yours? This isn't yours,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, he wrote an article about it and added his own insights and thoughts to it. Oh, I thought it was pretty good.
It totally is yours. Look at that. There it is.
Listen, so here's the thing. I always thought someday someone would write an article about me, but I didn't know it would be about a spreadsheet I made. So I'm simultaneously flattered and pissed.
I think it's awesome, dude. No one makes spreadsheets like you. I think this is really great. I didn't realize it was yours. Yeah, there it is right there. Depression calculator created by Bo Schwartz of Core Podcast fame. Fame, I don't know about fame.
Infamy is more.
The tool allows players to enter the current rank, their current win rate, and their desired rank to calculate the approximate number of games required to reach that goal. We talked about this many, many shows ago. So check it out over at blizzpro.com. And that's cool, dude. Well done. I had no idea that was yours. That's so cool. Well,
thank you, Alebeard. Yeah. I was like, really? You want to write about my Excel spreadsheet? Okay. Yes, do it. What do you want?
I like Alebeard.
But it's worth for people who are still new to this show, who maybe start in Heroes of the Storm and playing in ranked and feeling kind of like they should be master already. Go give that a read because it adds extra context around it. It's a good article too. Yeah, but some good points.
Nice. There's some rank changes coming for season 2. And by the way, 2017 season 2 is June 13th through September 12th. So it's already started then.
Yeah.
Right?
We're in it.
Yeah. We're in it now. Yep. Oh, I knew that. I did a couple of placements. So what am I thinking? I knew that it was brand new. I just had really bad games. They were terrible. And it made
so
me.
So you purged them from your mind.
I thought, you know what I did, you guys? I thought, you know what I'm going to do just to make this more bite size and not, you know, try to grind my way through it so quick or whatever. I'm just going to do a placement a day.
Okay.
And just, you know, one game a day, solo placement, Hero League, I'm in, I win or lose, I get out. And the next day I find a half hour and I do the same thing. And I did that 2 days in a row and they were so bad that I've already broken my plan. So I don't know what I'm going to do now. I feel bad. I should do it. Why shouldn't I do it? I should do it.
I'll tell you what you should do.
Okay.
Here's my suggestion for you. Because I know you're busy with Nerdtacular and I know you're going to be bummed.
Yeah.
You need to devote at least maybe one or two games a day.
Yeah.
I don't remember when the cutoff is. to play a Diablo character with a friend.
Oh,
because
shoot.
You need to get those 15 games in so you can get your mount, and because I know you're gonna want them, the wings in Diablo.
Yeah, the Kerrigan and wings, right?
Yeah, the ghost Kerrigan, yeah, right? They're all metal.
Wings. Yeah, I want that. Why do I not? Ugh, frick. Any time. That's a lot of games. 15 games I got to do between. Well, no, I've already done.
You probably got a couple in, maybe.
I got.
But you had to be with a friend, and you had to be playing a Diablo hero.
Oh right, shit. We'll look at it tonight when we get in. Yeah, we'll I'm nervous out. Now. This may not go well for me. Yeah, way to go, Blizzard. Put all this during a time where I can't do much else but plan for a convention. But anyway, it's all good. So it started. It's happening. There have been personal rank adjustments. Here's a quote from the Blizzard team. We've lessened personal rank point adjustments. Lessened them in Hero and Team League. This will allow players' ranks to move more quickly during streaks of wins or losses. What does that translate to? I don't think I understand it.
So I've had this happen to me before in the game. When you start winning a lot of games in a row,
yeah,
the system starts being like, whoa, this guy's pretty good. He's a lot better than these players. Let's give him extra points. And as long as you keep that win streak going, you will get extra points. Also works the other way, unfortunately, I believe. But I haven't seen it in over a year, even on a win streak. So it seems like they restricted it somewhat and they're loosening it. So we'll see what that means. If anyone goes on a win streak and gets a ton of points, let us know.
Right. Yeah. Curious about that.
That's what they're saying.
They're also loosening certainty during placements. So be careful to win your games because the placement picker will swing stronger during your first 10 games. I don't like anything swinging.
Because they usually do that at the beginning of every season, but I think with the personal rank adjustment dealio,
yeah,
sometimes it's tempting to go in and be like, let me just do whatever in my 10 placement matches, then I'll deal with ranked.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to give that some thought if you value your rank, because you may go on a personal rank adjustment swing in the downward direction, and the placement placer's already upped your uncertainty. Sounds volatile. I did jump. I ended at plat 4. Which I know I say that like, it's just lower than what I usually end at. Yeah. I got placed at plat 2.
Hmm.
So I thought that was a pretty big, it's a pretty big swing.
Yeah, I think
for what it's worth. Yeah. So I'm looking at the tail end of Diamond and going like, maybe I can get there this season. So get back there again.
Season 2 rewards include portraits and the Earthbreaker Grizzly Mount. So another elemental looking animal unit. You get to sit on.
He looks like who's that guy in Draenor? Is Blackhand?
Oh, Blackhand. He looks like Blackhand himself, like actual.
Well, he's got that metally armor. It's Blackhand, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like if Blackhand instead of an orc was a bear.
Oh, that's cool. I'm down with that. I mean, Blackhand's badass. You know what? Just go ahead and put Blackhand as a mount in Heroes of the Storm. I'd ride that guy all day.
Up on, buddy. We're doing it.
Now, here's a weird detour. We're gonna talk just for a second. We're going to talk about Diablo. Okay. It's just the way it is, guys. Sorry. We have to do it. And we're going to do it because I want to talk about value and Blizzard games and the way things work in Heroes versus a game like Diablo. Today it was announced that the Necromancer pack will drop on June 27th. So another thing I won't have time to do before Nerdtacular, but whatever. I'll play a ton after. Heroes will likely suffer for a bit for a lot of us because we're big Diablo fans around here, around core. And came out today that it would also be priced. Now, some time ago on the Instance podcast, I had formulated my prediction that it would be somewhere in the $15 range. And I have to admit, when I said that, it was hoping against hope. I really thought I was undercutting it. I didn't think they were going to do this. I thought it was going to be $20-$25 at the least. And it was just sort of wishful thinking to say that, and also just different enough of a price pick so that Terpster and Patrick would, because they were both saying 25 or higher. I wanted to be different from them because they're dirty, dirty Europeans. Okay. So we did, and we made that bet. Turns out I was right, and I was shocked today to hear 15, and I was elated to hear 15 because that sounds like an incredibly good value to me. The biggest part of even the expansion to that game, Reaper of Souls, yes, you got a new act, You got some new story stuff. You got a new villain. You got some sort of okay cutscene stuff. But really what you got was a brand new class. The Crusader was the thing you got. The biggest bang for those for the $30 you paid came with a character with a full set of skills, a full additional set of runes on top of those skills, a whole new level of gear acquisition, blah, 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 blah. All of that stuff adds up to be the biggest chunk of what you were paying for there. So for me, coming out and saying the primary portion of this this DLC, if you want to call that, is the Necromancer himself with all those skills, with all that stuff, that automatically makes that a really good value for me, considering the fact that I would spend $10 for a Hero and Heroes of the Storm, or I would spend $40-something to get enough cards to make a difference in Hearthstone, or I would spend $50 during an event for Overwatch to get as many skins as I could. In an even weirder world where I'm already paying that same $15 a month for World of Warcraft access, they also have on offer their a mount for $25 or a pet for $10 or $15. And sometimes they're for charity, sometimes they're not. But the point is, there's other ways to spend money there. And with skins and cosmetics and stuff, you're really just EPing. You just got your dude with his cool thing on, and that's fine. And if that's what you value, you should do that. You should spend money on that. And if you don't, you shouldn't. If you are a Diablo fan and you hear it's $15, how could you not see that as a good value is my main thing. And I'm shocked at how the internet today seemed to act like this was too much money. I just can't understand it. It's like they've been updating that thing for free for a very long time, improving it constantly, every month new content, every month a new season, constantly banging away on that thing for nothing. And then when they come along with something significant that took real man hours to do, 15 seems too much to people. And I'm going to play so much more in that $15 realm than I will any of the mounts I paid $25 for, which is only one, by the way. But I got sick of it. In fact, I had buyer's remorse as soon as I did, and I couldn't return it. So my point is, I just wanted to bring that up. John and I talked a little before the show, but Bo wasn't here yet, and I want to get Bo's take on this. So first of all, John, tell me what you said earlier about this, whether you think this is a good price or not, and can we equate it to the way Heroes works? In other words, is it possible for me to take the apple and orange approach and say, well, in Heroes, it is worth $10 for a character, but somehow over here, a character plus all the things that go into a Diablo character, which are much more than the kit that goes into a Heroes character, is somehow not worth that $15. So give me your take.
So here's the thing. You can't really apples and orange it, because the reality that we live in is Blizzard is Disneyland. You get Disneyland prices when it comes to Blizzard. Now, there'll be some people who say, oh, that's completely justified. They have a high watermark on quality for everything they put out. Did you see the Necromancer? It had a little trailer. It had a video. It had custom art. Look at all the skills and abilities it has. Look at all the sets they're adding to it. Look at everything you're getting. $15 is a steal for everything that they've put into it. And those people are probably right. But generally speaking, things with Blizzard are too expensive, in my opinion. Like, where I set the metric, $20 is too much for a mount. Paying more than that, or is it even 20? It might be 25. Is it
25 per mount? Yeah, 25.
Okay. That's way too much for mount.
Yeah.
They charged, what was it when they put those helmet transmog things in the game? It was like $15 to get a helmet for all your WoW tunes.
Yeah.
Like, and then you look at Hearthstone. I'm so bad at remembering all these prices that made me so mad back in the day. But Hearthstone, I believe it was on the instance where people were saying you are paying, I think it was $10 or $15 for a JPEG to go right in the bottom of the board and some voice lines to go on top of it.
I think that was me.
Oh, was it you? Was it you, Bo? That's true.
It was me over here.
Yeah, Bo's right. That's way too much. Like, their prices across the board are too high. I would argue that $15 is a little high for the Necromancer pack. However, once you put it in the scope of the world in which we live in the world of which Blizzard sells things, at that point, Scott's right. It's a heck of a deal for everything you're getting. Because this same company will sell you a JPEG
for 10
for 10 for roughly the same thing. They'll sell you a picture that they just put out there to the world.
Right.
Like, and 6 voice lines. Yeah. You're not forget. You get 6 voice lines.
Sure. With the JPEG. Well, that they already had on file, but yeah, totally.
So it's just one of those things where it's like, you, once you start comparing it, that's where the value proposition starts to become, oh, you know what? This isn't that bad. Mm-hmm. Like, they could, I would have expected the Necromancer to be 20 or 25.
Yeah, I did
so
too.
Coming in at 15, it is lower than I expected. Is that still probably too much for one new class in Diablo? Probably. But this is the world we live in, and these are the hands we're given.
I knew you were going to go there. So, Bo, I want to throw it to you, but before I do, I just want to follow up by saying this. This is my short rebuttal in there in the debate. There's not really a debate, but anyway, because I think we generally agree. But what is it? What makes this different is that Blizzard, everybody's doing this model, right? Everybody is. Everybody's got some kind of DLC program or pre-order thing, or at the very least buy stuff after the fact, like, you know, the Mass Effect games have been doing this since 2, or maybe it was 3. Across the board, buy skins in Call of Duty, whatever. You've already paid for the game, but here's some extra stuff, now you pay us money for it. That's a thing. This is established industry-wide thing. Now, I suppose somebody could make the argument that, well, I like video games better back when it was just a release and an expansion and we were done. Well, I'm not so sure I feel that way. But in Blizzard's case, they do charge kind of a premium, and they do it because the market will bear it. In other words, that's how you determine whether you can sell enough mounts for 25 or enough Necromancers for 15 or enough card packs for $2.99 each, is that if the market will bear it, if your player base will want it enough to pay for it. People can complain all day, but if they want it and they pay for it, then success. If it's too high, you'll sell less, not so much successful. So the fact that 15 is the price, and again, I know this is my perspective and my point of view, but I'm just shocked at how few people are sharing it. That's low by Blizzard standards is what I'm getting at. That's cheaper than they would normally do for this much content. They'll sell you a JPEG for 10. They'll sell you the chance to get a skin in Overwatch for a lot more than that. But here's a case where they're giving you concrete gameplay, potentially hundreds of hours of it, in the form of a brand new character, which is a form of a whole new way of playing that game, because that's what those characters are, with all these variations and different ways to play it and all this different kind of gear. And the kind of game Diablo is, the dollar per minute is so much a better deal. And that, to me, seemed obvious from the minute they announced it, and then I spent the rest of the day fending off internet people that I think Blizzard's literally, and I use this word because that's what they've all been using, they're bilking their players. Well, first of all, if it's too high, don't play it. If you don't like Diablo in the first place, why even have an opinion? Because you're not going to buy it anyway. If it was $5, you weren't going to get it. That's the mentality I don't understand. Because to me, it was like, it's a hell of a deal. Freaking 10, 15 bucks is how much I'm going to pay for the next indie game that takes 2 hours to play through and I can smile a lot about. Great. It's a good value. Guess what else is a good value? A Necromancer for 15! All right, Bo, I want your feelings.
I'm trying to understand the enemy. So I'm with you. 15 is a good price. I went on the Blizzard shop and I looked at the Diablo 3 battle chest, and it's $30. And I can get 5 classes and a whole game for, you know, 2 times the price of a Necromancer. And I think that's how people are thinking of it. They shouldn't, but that's how they're thinking of it. Mm. Even at full price, it still seems like a $60 for Diablo 3, but $15 is what, a third-ish, almost a third of the game price for... I feel like if you logic it out that way, you want to scream it's expensive, but it isn't really. It's good value. For people who are invested in the game, the DLC is marked up. This is not new. It's been true ever since, what is it? Is it Morrowind or?
Morrowind.
You know, with the horse?
Oh, it was Morrowind. Oblivion.
Oblivion,
right?
Yeah.
Like, it's been true. DLC has been true at the dawn of time. Blizzard's so late to the DLC game, it isn't even funny.
Yeah.
And so it's fine. They make quality stuff, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, Diablo's got to charge, if you were to say they were charging a little bit more, they historically have to for this game. I know I didn't buy Diablo 3. I just agreed to continue paying my WoW subscription, and I got it for free.
Yeah.
So I've only paid for Reaper. And not to mention, Battle.net balance is a thing. How many WoW players are going to be just cashing out a, you know, one sack full of gold to get it for free, get this for free? Like, it's, they're giving a lot of this stuff away for free right now. I don't think that's evident. So I think they got to charge a premium to account for that too.
I agree. Even by Blizzard standards, though, this feels like a cheaper premium. Yeah. This is DLC pricing for games that give you two maps and a new gun skin. Like, this is more than that. This is a lot more than that.
This is what I think when, you know, people don't say what they mean what they mean.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're saying it's expensive, but what I think they're really saying is X-Pac announcement already, Diablo 4, like, we liked your game. We like that there's a class, but we want more game.
Okay, well that's a fair point.
Necromancer, big deal. The only reason my excitement would be diminished somewhat is because I'm ready. I'm ready just for an announcement. I'm ready for a tease. I'm ready for anything.
Mm.
But it's been quiet every year. The past two BlizzCons, I've been sitting there waiting. The thing I want to hear most from BlizzCon outside of Hero stuff is Diablo news.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. I feel like I'm not going to get it again this year.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel bad because Diablo is my second favorite Blizzard franchise next to Heroes. And I want to play Diablo. I want more Diablo.
Yep.
So
I like that. Man, mean people mean what they mean. That's a good way to put that.
I'll just say kind of my closing thought on price is it's a difficult topic because $15 to me doesn't mean the same thing as $15 to everybody else.
Right.
That can be trivial. That can be substantial. And I think at the end of the day, trying to make a value assessment of saying this is worth $15 or not is kind of impossible because that means different things to different people.
Mm-hmm.
What it ultimately does boil down to is if you can do it and you want to do it, you should happily do it because they have been giving you a lot of updates and a lot of content for free for a very long time with a live team working on the game, where most games that do that have to live and die off constant DLC, min-maxing DLC, or expansion releases.
Mm-hmm.
If that's too high for you, then yes, it sucks. You get left out and that's not fun and that doesn't feel good. But that's the reality. You don't buy it, and Blizzard hopefully learns the right lesson from it. I'd argue historically they haven't always done that. The alternate characters in Hearthstone was way too high. I don't think a lot of people spent money on them, and we eventually saw them start rolling those into other types of promotions and just not selling it.
Mm-hmm.
The lesson there was, hey, you could probably sell this, but not for this price. What they took from it was, oh, I guess we can't sell these.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the right lesson. So, you know, you kind of have to just buy it or not, depending on what you think the personal value is, and let that message tell Blizzard what they're doing. And if people buy it, I'm going to buy it. Then at the end of the day, it was a good value because they got enough people to say yes.
Yeah, and keep in mind that Blizzard has very little investment in terms of moving that kind of quote unquote product. These are digital items. They don't have a warehouse full of stuff. They didn't have to commit to a manufacturing schedule and logistics schedule out of China and worry about all of the things that happen with physical goods. They can go high, test the waters, see what the market will bear, and then back off and then roll it into other things or make other promotions. And they have there's a PR cost to that for sure. But it's not like they've got a warehouse full of necromancers they can't move. You know what I mean? Although that is a great visual.
That's such a good thing.
That's a pretty good visual.
They just open the door. shut the door. They're getting a little ripe in there.
We have on the line Chew Braca. Chew Braca, what's on your mind?
Yes. Trying to at least tie back the idea of pricing to Core, or to the Tears of the Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Noticing the transition between 1.0 to 2.0, we received loot boxes. One of the biggest complaints with the 1.0 was the fact that we had a bunch of $10 skins, and going back to the idea of $10 for pixels.
Yeah.
Is this Blizzard's kind of recessing from the idea of having people pay for $10 skins by giving the chance of loot boxes?
Oh, interesting. I mean, maybe, but I mean, $10, it's that idea of it being $10 pixels has always been an interesting one to me, because if that's true, that's all video games have ever been for us when we buy them. If we buy the, you know, Super Mario Odyssey coming out for the Switch, I'm buying a bunch of pixels that are moving in weird ways. And, well, why am I doing that? Well, because I'm buying some game there, and that's what you're paying for. So I totally get that idea that some people would say, well, $10 for this thing that doesn't even exist seems like a lot of money. But in the context of, this is a game I want to play and here's a character I want to play, so therefore that value makes sense to me. It's the same value proposition for any video game. You never were paying for the disc and the manual and the box it came in back in the day. What you were paying for is the game. No game is worth anything if the thing inside doesn't provide the gameplay. So maybe, I think that maybe the reason that the loot box system is in 2.0 is simply because they have really good success with this model in Overwatch. And not only that, they improved it in a couple of ways, in my opinion. I think the re-rolling feature is really cool and stuff like that. But I just think that's more palatable. I think players are more into the idea that they, through their invested time, they have a say in what they might get. Through RNG and luck, they might be able to get the thing they want. And they can still go just throw raw ass money at it if they want. Do you guys, what do you guys think?
I think that, you know, it's a tight balance. You should never begrudge Blizzard wanting to make money. That's how they continue to put out content that we all enjoy. Like, and that sounds like me standing up on a soapbox and being PR for them, and I'm sorry for that, but it's true. They make money, and they get to keep making games for us, and we get to keep enjoying them. That's the reality. Where it gets tricky is we as consumers need to also not feel like we're being taken advantage of. So it becomes a tightrope balance of how do we feel like we're giving Blizzard money and feeling good about it, and how do they get the most money out of us without stepping over that line and saying, oh, we're taking advantage of you. I think loot boxes tend to make people feel generally pretty good about their purchases while still getting them more money than they were getting selling skins.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Thanks for the chat, Chew Braca. Great name, by the way. Chew Braca. I like that. All right. Well, there's that. Necromancer. It's coming. I will gladly fork my 15 over. I was ready to pay 25, and I think that's too much, but I was still ready to do it because I love it that much. So bring it.
I mean, the one thing is, if you've played a lot of it, I think there's one new zone. You know, so you might feel it's not worth it, not because you aren't excited to play the Necromancer, but perhaps because you've played the content a lot. That's my only concern, is the longevity of the Necromancer in the face of 500 plus hours or more of Diablo game time already.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point.
Without
without
a new zone, like without substantive, even if it's small DLC size content.
Yeah, and people should take that into account when making their buying decision, for sure. Absolutely. I think my biggest complaint today, or what I've taken away from the weird feedback from everybody, was don't buy it then. And then Blizzard will have to react if you don't buy it. If nobody buys the Necromancer, they will have to rethink things. You may not hear it in their PR, but you're gonna know it by their actions. So if it's just that raw of a deal for you, then don't freaking get it. It isn't. If I'm willing to pay for it, it doesn't mean I'm, you know, suckling at the teat of the great overlord. It means I want to play more Diablo and I like the Necromancer. It's as simple as that. It's like any buying decision. I mean, do these people hang around in grocery stores and go, I can't believe you bought Pepsi. You know, they're just part of the greater conspiracy. You know, like, whatever. Buy Pepsi if you want. Get Coke if you want. I don't care. It's on you to get what you want to get. And if you don't want to get this, freaking don't get it. That's all
I
don't know.
I think the Overlord's teat sounds pretty great.
Bo's ready to suck.
That's right. Okay, we're going to play a little game. Now, how we're going to do this is not normal. It's like Next Jeopardy, but for free codes. And some of you just went, what? We get free codes for what? All right, here's what you're going to do. I'm going to play the thing. Hold on. So here's a little introduction. You may have heard it. All right. That means Next Jeopardy normally, and we're not going to be playing it, though, in the way you think we're going to be playing it. This might be loud. Oh, yeah, it is loud. Hold on. Let me fix that. Okay, we'll take that way down there. All right, so here's the deal. You're going to call in via the Discord, frogpants.com/Discord. Get into that call waiting room, just like Chew Braca did. And if you want to win some free codes to what? Remind us, Bo. You have cards with codes.
So I've got a limited stock. All right. Got a Falstad and a Stormlord skin. If you don't have Falstad, I got a code for him. Do you have any codes left, John, by the way?
I do, but let's spread them out. Right. We don't have
all right. I've got ETC and the glam metal skin for ETC. Got two of those. Got a Tassadar and a Crypt King skin. Tassadar always OP, no matter how hard they nerf him.
Yep.
I got a Murky skin. Ooh. If you're into Murky.
Yeah.
I have a Stitches and a Chef Stitches skin. That's pretty cool. And I have Ragnaros and little... I think that one works. Is not grayed out, but I don't think I cash it in. Disclaimer, the code should work.
I have a code for Ragnaros. If you end up hearing back that they can't, I'll
All right, perfect. So keep in mind, we got some stuff.
Keep in mind, in a couple of those cases, actual characters, not just skins, like straight up rag
it's
and
the
his,
character and the skin.
And a skin, like a bundle. Yeah. So
and the way it works in post 2.0 world, it will get you all the color variations of said skin.
Yeah, they give it to you the way they would have given it to you in the first place. Or if you had unlocked that character at level, when you get all the stuff, 7? Whatever it is, whatever it used to be. But
it
now,
used to be 6-7, something
six,
like that.
6-7, yeah.
All right, let's start the show.
Let's do it. I'm going to take somebody in, and Bo, you're going to ask them the questions, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It works like normal, except for you just more casual.
All right, let's try this one. Monster Tags. Monster Teagues. Sorry, Monster Teagues. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Where do you hail from? Where are you from?
Ontario, Canada.
Oh, dude, Canada. Look, Bo, we got one of your people here.
Yeah. Another Ontarian.
Yeah, y'all could exchange those weird coins with holes in them. That'd be great. it's good to have you here. Let's play a little Next Jeopardy with you. Bo's going to give you a question and see if you could win. Bo, what are you going to tell him which one he could win?
I'd like to, so we're using the same categories as last time. We got Blizzard Spellbucks in the top lane. We have Itanta Putty Tat in the mid lane. And talent, that seems generous.
Leave it to Bo to overcomplicate somebody calling in and answering the question.
I like it. So you give him what? Does he get to pick? Is that the deal?
Yeah, he can pick his category.
All right.
Next Jeopardy.
Yeah. So which category did he just mention that you want? And if you don't remember, you can say 1, 2, or 3 if you want.
Okay. What was the top lane again?
Blizzard Spellbucks. That's Topher and the Barista from Anaheim. Irvine. Irvine HQ.
All right. He wants that one.
All right.
Wait, what? All right. Did you just pick for the listener, Scott?
No, he said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He got mixed minus out. Yeah. All right, so here's the Merc Camp question. Topher, can you come here? Hey, what you want? I got coffee. All right. I have a nice venti cup of liquefied pig tongue for French eat. So anyone, liquefied pig tongue for French eat? It's a venti.
Uh-huh.
French sheet, okay.
Or French sheet.
Yeah.
Fresh sheet?
That's racist.
Fresh sheet.
Only in Ontario.
I don't know, gosh, I have no idea.
You got any hints, Bo?
You know, you can ask Scott or John for some help.
Okay.
What do you think?
Bo, listen,
he came up to the counter and said fresh sheet. I said, what would you like to drink? And he said, fresh heat. And then I said,
I know
what
it
name?
Is. I know what it is. Heat. I know what it is.
I know it.
Yeah. Can we straight up tell him or
you
what?
Can help him if you like. You guys are contestants.
Can we give hints or can we give him the actual answer?
Maybe he wasn't able to say his name. Maybe there's something else that he's only able to say.
Remember, Topher is not very good at hearing your name and writing it down correctly. So if he asks you your name and what he wrote down was fresh heat,
here's the hint I would give you. The hint is there's a certain character that would say something if he saw blood hanging in the air and he would go pick it up.
He ordered venti, a cup of liquefied pig tongue.
Yeah, which is like bloody and not too bloody for a teen game. Like here's
the story. Are you talking about the butcher?
Ding 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 ding.
I say the answer again.
Oh, you have to do it like a question.
What is the butcher?
What? I'll give it to you, but it's who?
I think it's what. I'm giving it what.
But you got it correct. You are a winner. So let's get what kind of what hero did you want, sir?
Oh, let him pick. What do you like?
What's on the menu?
We got Falstab, we got ETC, I've got Tass, Mercs, Stitches or Rag.
Fresh Sheet is what's on the menu, apparently.
I love me some Tassadar.
Tassadar's great. Tassadar's never a bad pick.
So I will scratch that off and get it to you. Thank you very much for playing. Scott, we'll see
you
to the
so
door.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
See you later, man. He's in the AFK room if you want to.
All right, I'm going to send him a direct message there and get him his code.
All right, we're now bringing into the show Stumpwater Jack. Stumpwater Jack, everybody. Hello, Stumpwater Jack. You are muted currently, so you need to unmute yourself.
Hey.
There he is. Hello, Stumpwater Jack. How are you?
Hey there, doing good.
All right, good. We see Stumpwater all the time in the chat. It's always good to see your name. Do you know what the categories are? Do you need to know what those are again?
No.
Uh-oh. Say that again. I missed. You got a little cut off.
I said, I
it keeps cutting off right at the point of the answer.
Yeah, it's like difficult. Right as that's about to happen. I'll make an executive decision. Go lane two. Lane two for Stumpwater.
Oh, so, okay. Is he going to be able to answer?
I don't know.
Who knows?
We'll give it a shot.
All right, we'll give it a shot. Lane two. I taunt a putty tat. All right. So this is the taunt lines for heroes, okay?
All right. And he has to tell what hero makes this taunt, right?
That's right.
Okay.
This will only hurt until you die.
I have a feeling this is for somebody I don't play.
Might be. It's not ringing a bell for me either, but.
I mean, based on the impression and the morbidity, I'm thinking a certain tiny little dragon, but that would be a guess.
Oh,
if I'm being honest.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my thought, especially the way you said it.
All right.
Yeah. So that's okay. So who is Brightwing?
You are correct.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Congratulations.
See, this feels so much better because now when I'm right, I'm winning things for other people, and it feels way better.
Well done. That's a coin you got there. Which of these heroes would you like?
I believe I don't own Tassadar, so I will take that sweet task.
Is Tassadar gone?
Tassadar's been claimed,
Tassadar's
friend.
Hold on. I might have a Tassadar.
Oh, wait. John might have a Tassadar.
I'm pretty sure I have a Tassadar. Bo has a Tassadar. I have a Tassadar.
All right. You do have a Tassadar?
I think I do. I don't know where I have my codes, though.
All right. Pick an alternate, and then if he has Tassadar, I'll give you that first. But if you need a backup plan, what will it be?
Okay. I'm trying to think of who I don't own already.
Whoa. Humble.
Yeah, you can always give it to another friend or, you know, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, let's do Murky, because if anything, I can give him to my friend.
So. Yeah, there you go. Murky. All right, so hold on to the Murky. If John finds the other one, great. Otherwise, Murky will be yours. Tassadar is awesome.
It's Stumpwater Jack. Thank you for playing Stumpwater
Jack.
Yes,
thank you, Stumpwater Jack. May all the water you stump be jacked. okay, how do I move him out? Okay, he's in AFK now. Let's now bring in Draven Dresden. Draven Dresden, are you there? Oh, wait, I've muted him. Hi, Draven.
Hello.
Hi. We had you on TMS the other day, and I still had you muted for no good reason.
Actually, about time I'm on this last muted week. Him.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Hey, Draven Dresden on the line. What lane do you want to pick?
I'll go with Talent That's Generous.
Okay.
Bo? Sweet. This whole category got missed on the last episode.
Yeah, cause... we can't help you on this one. None of us like this category.
All right, here, you ready for Talent That Seems Generous?
Yes.
As ready as I'm going to be.
All right.
Here's your answer. Cassia has a level 1 talent name that is the current tense of a thunderous ACD song and possibly a fatal sex or golfing maneuver.
ACD song?
ACDC, I think is what it
is. Oh.
Oh, did I say ACD song?
You said ACD song. Okay.
It's a level 1 Cassia talent name that is the current tense of a thunderous ACDC song and also possibly a fatal sex or golfing maneuver.
I think I know what it is. So, all right. Go ahead there.
I think the talent is past tense, but since you said ACDC, I'm going to say what is thunderstruck?
Oh, so I think you confused yourself. Thunderstroking is current tense. I'm thunderstroking right now.
Is it?
please stop.
That's too much information there.
He said thunderstruck
first. So technically.
Yeah, but before the judges could rein in, he went thunderstruck and went thunderstroke.
Yeah.
Right?
I think he gets it.
I think happened, Bo. I think he said thunderstruck, and then he started to work. He smelled toast, and he panicked and tried to warn everybody that there was a thunderstroke happening.
Yep.
But now we're back on track, and it was thunderstruck, and we're fine.
It was a weird golfing accident.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I think what he meant. Well, I think you can give it to him either way.
Yeah, yeah. He said thunderstroke. I heard thunderstroke. I felt like at Drive in Dresden, you were remembering your golfing days and when you had a wicked thunderstroke.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So what would you like as a prize, sir?
Oh, yeah. Wing, ding, ding.
What do we have left?
Well, we got an ETC. We have a Stitches, a Rag, and a Falstad.
Falstad.
Well, given the amount that he was used recently, I have to take the Stitches just because Chef Stitches is amazing.
That's right. Chef Stitches is amazing. You can't go wrong with Chef Stitches. Well done. Draven,
I don't have the Stitches yet, so yeah. Chef is the next best.
All right. Nice job. Well done. Congratulations. Bo, get that over to you. How many we have left? We got three left?
I've still got five left. Maybe we can keep going.
All right. We got a couple more names here. We got Sergeant Zim. Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing great.
It is fantastic to have you on. Where do you hail from, Sergeant Zim?
We are up here in Bellingham, Washington.
Oh, look at this. All this northern stuff going on. This is great. I like it. Well, welcome to the show. Do you have a lane you'd like to pick and try to win a character?
The Starbucks lane.
All right. All right.
All right. Just one moment. I'm attending to Draven's needs, I'll be there in just a second.
Okay.
Perfect. With a little thunderstroke, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, giving Draven the old thunderstroke. We understand.
I mean, it'll shave two off your par. Uh-huh. All right. Is that how golfing talk works?
Nope. That's not a thing. Once again, you talked about sports and you made up a thing.
I liked it.
No, you have to shave things off your par. I swear
that's not how golf works, but it's fine.
That's not how it works.
Totally fine. Right.
Well, I got to work on my thunderstroke, evidently. All right, so you wanted Blizzard Spellbooks. Topher, get over here.
Yeah.
Okay, Bo. Listen, I have a short double pump whiskey dark roast drip coffee for Tim Neighbor.
Tim Neighbor?
That's a short double pump whiskey dark roast drip coffee. For a Tim Neighbor.
This is easy.
Tim Neighbor?
Let us know if you need a hint. I can give you an answer.
Yeah,
I need a hint here. I'm halfway there.
I'm kind of with you.
All right. You probably don't want to be friends with this guy. He'll shoot you in the head.
Mm-hmm.
He rides around on a vulture.
Oh.
He's a marshal.
Yeah.
He's in a science fiction universe. And he likes to say this is his name.
I'll give you a slight tacked on hint. I have a dog named after this character.
That's a good hint. Well, that's a much Rainer? Better I know hint that. Than my
There you name. Go. There you go. You got it. Who is Rainer? Is he correct, Bo?
That is correct. Who is Jim Rainer? This short dark roast, a double pump whiskey dark roast drip coffee is for Tim Maber.
Well done.
That's a good question.
That was a great question and a All fine right. answer. You great. Can so, now pick what you want. What do you like? What's your choices sir, again, Bo? What's
got a,
left?
I got a Falstad, an ETC, or a Rag. Which one do you want?
I'll take the ETC for the skin.
Oh, yeah, that's a
Sweet.
Good one.
Yeah, it's the glam metal skin. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, that's true. Right. You get the character if you don't have him, and if you already do, you do get the skin. I hadn't thought of that. So yeah,
I'm sending this over to Sergeant Zim, right?
Sergeant it's Zim. It's actually Zim, Sergeant Zim. Sergeant Zim. It looks like you'll find him in the AFK channel. Congratulations. I think that's everybody for now. Yeah, that's everyone. Well done, you guys. That was a lot of fun to give those away. Found a fine excuse.
You guys want to answer a bonus one just for funsies?
Yeah, give us a bonus one.
Because
yeah.
I'm doing actually really well tonight for some reason.
All right. So Topher, get back in here. Hello. Hey, guys. How's it going? I have a 2-bag Grande Chamomile tea for Uwonix.
Uwonix? Uwonix.
Uwonix. It's a 2-bag Grande Chamomile tea for Uwonix. Uwonix?
Grand double bag?
Grande. No, sorry. It's a two bag Grande chamomile tea for Euonix.
Okay.
Euonix, you got it.
Euonix, you got it. Toyota, exactly.
Is it Artanis?
You got it.
Oh, that's incorrect. It's too damaged to your core.
Toyota.
I love that guy. Uncle Lewis from Christmas Vacation.
So like the guy ordered the tea and I said, what's the name I should put on the cup? And he said, Euonix.
Okay, it's a guy.
Oh, yep.
What is it?
It's one of Bo's favorite quotes to just constantly say.
Oh.
And if you asked him a follow-up question, he'd probably tell you.
Oh, you want Axe? That's who is Zul'jin.
That right. Character is capable of telling people his name, Bo.
No, because Topher, because he hates Topher. He's like, give me a tea with the two bags of chamomile tea in it. Topher's like, okay, sir, okay, what's your name? He's like, you want Axe? Like, just that's it. He's done. Just give him the coffee.
All right.
That's all the conversation Zul'jin wants.
Well done, Zul'jin, and well done, Bo. That was fun. I enjoyed the hell out of that. That's going to do it for today's show, everybody. No, there's no email because you guys were the emails today. Okay? You called in. You were here, and we should do that more often. And when you guys are, you know, around and watching the show live, it's a chance for you to pop in and say what you want to say about whatever it is we might be talking about. So big thanks to those who did. And again, to do that, just park yourself in that call waiting room, whenever that is a thing that you want to do, over at frogpants.com/discord. I think that's going to do it, fellers. We're going to play a little bit after this, so come on back and watch us play some games. Got to get some XP, see if I can't get that stupid Diablo stuff before time runs out. It's probably not going to happen. Anyway, heroesforyou.com is our website. Go there, be there, live there. It's a great place to be. I don't know what Bo's doing on camera right now. But
Nerdtacular Hype!
Oh, yeah, Nerdtacular Hype!
I'm sitting here. We're not doing a show until after Nerdtacular, right?
Correct. This is our last pre-Nerdtacular show. These guys are both coming. There's going to be a lot of travel that week and nuts next week for me getting ready and everything, but they're going to be here. So we'll get some pictures. We'll hang out. I'm going to go into some little corner and record some stuff. Plus these guys will be on stage for all the big stuff. If you want to watch Nerdtacular live, it will be at frogpants.tv. It takes you straight to the Twitch channel and that will happen all that weekend, 29th, 30th, and the 1st. So come on back for that.
So I have a plane ticket to Salt Lake, but if I can't leave, I'm going to be Scott's new Andy Richter.
Yeah, you may
so
literally.
If that's an idea that you like, a guy sitting on his couch while he's recording a show that says, yeah, real funny, Scott. It's super great.
Oh my gosh.
Go support his Patreon and give him money. Yeah. It's a new secret Patreon goal there.
Yeah, I got to pay my Andy Richter. Anyway, so I'm very much looking forward to that. Can't wait to see a lot of you guys who are coming, and it's going to be a blast. So check that out. Nerdtacular.com for details. Heroesforyou.com is our website. You can go there and check stuff out if you like. core@heroesforyou.com will get an email to us. And you can always find us on Twitter, coreheroes, John_Jagger, Scott Johnson, and Bo Schwartz. That's going to do it for us, for me, for John, for Bo. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.